Welcome to Alter Echo Families, the newest podcast of St. John's Lutheran Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. I'm Pastor Kim Kylo.
And I'm Amanda Bullard, Children, Youth, and Family Director.
And we are so privileged to get to spend time with a lot of children, youth, and families, from littles to big kids, from preschoolers to high school students, and everyone in between, and their parents. We get to hear a lot of big feelings and experiences and struggles from these kiddos and families, and we are here to offer you, hopefully, a couple bits of encouragement and some of our reflections from getting to hear your kiddos talk. So may this be a gift to you as you think about parenting and faith and all things with a fun dose of hilarity.
Absolutely.
Welcome back, everyone, to Alter Echo Families. We're back, finally. It's only January 17th, and we are finally podcasting in January.
That's right. It's been quite a little break for us.
It has. Yeah. The holidays have happened. Mm-hmm. Kids not being in school have happened.
Yeah.
And so, we're back.
Yes, we are back.
Oh my gosh.
So here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and so many things to talk about. We've been back with our full program scheduled for a couple of weeks.
That's right.
And had a great time.
Yeah.
Having all the kids back, and we've talked through, we've had Sunday school, and we've had all of our programs, and for Confirmation and Affirm, we've had some really fun things going on with safe and healthy relationships.
So fun. Yeah. Well, fun for us. Maybe not always fun for our teenagers who are sitting with their parents as we talk to them about matters of safety, which maybe sounds like a good baseline thing, but as always, you know, requires some practices and some kind of disciplined maintaining our boundaries, right? And that can be sometimes be a challenging thing to grow into, but so definitely fun for us.
Yeah, fun for us.
Good for all of us.
I think so, and I think I'm reminded on when with my own kids and even myself, when you hear something from someone other than your parent, even and accompanied while you're sitting with the parent, it seems to hit at a different note and in a different level, and it does seem to really help. And I was very pleased to see how many people attended and kept coming back. And it seems like it went really well.
And even when we asked them to like talk to each other about something and maybe share with a large group, they were doing it. Right? They were more than tolerating this thing that I asked them to sit through. They were actually engaging in it, which is crazy.
Oh, great.
Super exciting.
Way to go, parents.
Way to go.
Yeah. And we also had, talking about resolving conflict in our Parenting Littles class. And we had a whole bunch of people come to that, too.
That's right.
On a holiday weekend over Martin Luther King. What an amazing group of families we have that participate and come and care.
You all care about your kids, and you care about your families, and you care about yourselves, and you care about your church, and we are so happy that all those things are true.
So if you're listening, no matter what kind of difficulty you're having today, you are amazing because you're here.
That's
and
right.
You participate, and I think there's just a lot to be said for
in
being in a church family and in a community. That support that you seek and receive is just so great and restorative. So
that's right.
Good for you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something so powerful in the community in being able to say, like, us too, we're experiencing that as well, right? So that if you're struggling with something and or you're just facing something and you're not sure how to address it or what your next steps are, for a peer to be able to say, like, oh my gosh, we are facing that same issue, you are a little bit less alone in it. And that is really, even if it doesn't fix what you're going through, it really helps you to, like, continue to have patience to live into it and to try to work with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's a good thing.
I think at church we have a lot of those sidebar conversations, especially on Wednesday nights with parents. It's, the place is just a buzz because it's like it's a safe place. It's not a sports. It's not sports. It's not at school.
There's nothing competitive about this environment
right here. it's just unconditional love all over the place, and people willing to just put your arm around you and just say, "Hey, it's going to be great and good to see you."
Yeah.
And I think that is the power of community.
That's right.
and great.
That's right. So good.
Yeah.
Good.
So, ooh, come on by.
As we're talking about this, mm-hmm. I have one little resource that maybe other people know about that I just kind of found that other people should know.
Sure.
You all have probably heard me talk about podcasts that I listen to. I'm such a podcast person.
Yeah.
My newest podcast, let me just read it for you so that I get it right in case mm-hmm. you also want to find this and you want to know what it is. It is called The Good Inside Podcast with Dr. Becky.
Oh.
Have you heard of this?
No, because you're always so in the know more
yes.
than I am.
Yes. So
I'm
Dr.
writing
Becky,
it down right now.
Dr. Becky Kennedy, K-E-N-N-E-D-Y. Dr. Becky Kennedy, I think she is technically like a child therapist, child psychologist. Mm-hmm. But her latest podcast episode, it's all about parenting. She talks about good inside parenting is not gentle parenting. She talks about it being sturdy parenting.
Oh,
about
that's
something
a good
that you can
bring that down too.
Yeah, something that you can come back to and your kids can rely on and count on because mm-hmm. they know what to expect from you and they know how you will support them. Mm-hmm. So not always, she's like, it's not always gentle because that's, mm-hmm. that can sound kind of passive, even if it's not. Mm-hmm. And so she talks about the sturdy approach, the dependable mm-hmm. approach, the reliable mm-hmm. approach for your kids. Anyway, she's just really good. And all of the things that I've been listening to her about, and she has like strategies and she's really good about saying like, you're definitely going to lose it still, like, 75% of the time. But the 25% that you, like, kind of do the thing that you think that is a good strategy, and you start to see your kids be like, oh, wow, that was actually helpful, and mm-hmm. that you're connecting together. It's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
So, anyway, check out Good Inside with Dr. Becky.
Good, great recommendation.
She's also on Instagram, if that's your avenue.
Oh, I'm still so confused about Insta.
It's not a Finsta. It's an actual Instagram account.
I know.
She talks about parenting things. So.
I know. It's very good.
Anyway,
good.
So, but that does bring us to our topic because mm-hmm. one of the things she does talk about is conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to talk about with conflict management, resolution, mm-hmm. coping, whatever? How are we talking about this today?
Specifically, sibling conflict.
Okay.
And if your child does not have a sibling, I would say they tend to... Not always, but tend to, if you're single, have really strong, like, best friend relationships.
Ooh, yeah.
And, you know, I hear a lot of kids who are onlys, but they have, it's like, but this was like my sibling, you know, when they grew up. So I think it's applicable to everyone. But the conflict that we spoke about mostly is that conflict that happens with siblings, that it's just, sometimes it's not fair and how to navigate that. Each kid is in like Psalm 139, wonderfully and uniquely and fearfully made, and they're not the same. So their needs are different.
Yeah.
And then having to address that over and over again. So we tried to kind of freshen up your toolbox a little bit and how to navigate that. And so I had two of my four kiddos come and with our parenting class, and they added a little insight in things that they witnessed and felt and now as 24 and 22 year olds you know, also had some thoughts about how we navigated that as a family.
I, one of the things I'm hearing as you're talking about this, in addition to our kids being unique from each other, their birth order also means that how they see a fairness situation will be different, right?
Yes.
The oldest one is definitely going to see fairness issues differently because, well, I'm older, I should be able to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the younger ones are going to say, well, but if they can do it, why can't I? They all have these different vantage points mm-hmm. on what's fair based on age, birth order, what they're witnessing, their other siblings are being allowed to do or not do. So in addition to their unique personalities, this also will be a factor in how they hear you say fairness things or try to parent them around things that feel unfair to each of them.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into play here, not just birth order, but also just the way their brains are wired at that time to be very concrete thinking, like A plus B should equal C.
Right.
So to think more abstractly mm-hmm. and try to communicate with them because in appearance, like sometimes it doesn't look like that, you
sure.
know,
sure.
this kid's just got this opportunity and you're just not going to have it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to look differently.
Sure.
And to be able to navigate that, that's that's a challenge. And I think so we're trying to talk through a few situations, come up with some like real life situations, and kind of we talked through those a little bit.
For
so,
sure.
Cool. Try to restore that tool bucket. And I think what you had talked about with Dr. Becky about sturdy parenting too, and having, I think that holds up really well in the idea of having repetitive things that you always say. Mm-hmm. So whatever your family value is regarding fairness, that you repeat it over and over and again, and that you make it very clear in how you're going to navigate that. Mm-hmm. You know, like
to be consistent with it.
Oh, yes.
Regardless of the situation and the fairness level or unfairness level to a child, be consistent with how you talk about that.
Yes.
Interesting.
Try not to get too, I think, mucked up in the details. You know,
like,
and individualize every single situation, you know, but just say this falls under this broader concept that we're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. One of the things I think actually in the last episode of Dr. Becky's that I listened to that is interesting with this, she talks about how often when kids, and maybe she wasn't only talking about sibling conflict, but like if they experience something and they have a big reaction to it, for you to simply like have them be heard and seen around it to say, gosh, it must be really disappointing, blah, 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 whatever that was. Or it must, you know, to empathize with how they might be feeling in that situation, even if it doesn't make you, and especially if it doesn't make you change your decision or your outcome there, right? To at least know that it's okay for you to be disappointed, but it's not okay for you to have this behavior because you think this isn't fair, right? Or it's okay to be disappointed, and this is how we have to have this be today, right? Yep. And not have it change your decision.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And not rush in and try to fix it.
We just want to fix everything for our kids?
And I think, you know, sometimes, I mean, we do, in our hearts, want to, of course.
Sure.
But it's okay just to let it be and say, no, I'm not going to make this up to you by taking you out for ice cream and doing this special thing.
No.
Sometimes we have to walk through that with our kids to see how we just kind of have to.
Yeah.
This is, I think, the little baby steps of grief.
Yes.
You know, of teaching them how to grieve the thing that is not going to be.
Yeah.
And I think allowing them to feel those feelings. Mm-hmm. And also knowing that there's expectation that they should not be misbehaving during that time either.
Right. It's okay for you to be frustrated. It is definitely, you are right to be upset about this.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you get to hit your brother or you get to say mean things to your sister. But you can go and be disappointed anyway, right?
Yeah. It's just tough. And that is, I think, looking back on you know, the years of the kids when they were little, those are the hardest heartbreaking moments, you know?
Yes.
And those, you know, and that can look like, you know, a kid's not making a team.
Sure.
And I know a lot of our kids here at church that happened to, a lot of teams were blown up, hockey, basketball, baseball, you know?
Sure.
Oh, and it was, you know, and kids came to church just heartbroken.
Yeah.
They did not make
what,
you know, they had hoped for.
Sure.
And those are, you know, and the friendships are torn apart. And and then also, you know, siblings too. Well, maybe a sibling has made that team before and then you don't. So I think grieving through that and not trying to fix it for your kid, you know, not trying to muddle it up for them.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Those are hard moments. So.
Right. And as hard as they are, you know, giving them the opportunity to have some young, manageable grief teaches them that they can sit with that so that when they're 18 and they don't get into the college that they really wanted to go to, that is not a new feeling for them, right? That they already have some experience dealing with grief and disappointment and sadness and loss and all those things so that when the situations get bigger and more meaningful, they have some experience dealing with these feelings, with this grief, so that they're not trying it for the first time when something really big happens when they're older and it is more significant.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so I think parents just encouraging you to see the big picture and then also maybe fill your kid on the plan too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I know this feels bad, but this will help you later.
Yep.
when more disappointment comes.
Right.
I agree.
Right.
But, you know, also I think on the other side is highlighting, you know, maybe this opportunity isn't happening in sports or maybe this, you know, sibling is driving you crazy, but all these skills that you're learning are going to help you some, you know, discover new gifts and, you know, always the light at the end of the tunnel. And that is what I've seen with my young adult kids too, is that, you know, looking back on it now and having them look back on it now. Those were difficult times, but look where you are now and how that has served you really for all the good things, you know, that they're striving to become. And
all those
experiences have set them up for where they're at now.
That's right.
So, and I think
that's right.
Building that in, and that was something I think we communicated that at a young age, you know, and I think repeating that over and over and again, like, this is the big plan. You're not always going to get everything you want.
Yep.
And disappointment's going to come, but there are silver linings all over the place here.
That's right.
So
lots of things to see.
Yeah.
So, and they maybe can't always hear that or be ready to kind of look for those good things to see in that initial disappointment, but like being able to come back to them later and say, you know, that was a really disappointing thing that happened last week or yesterday or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I wonder about this piece. Like, what's that like for you, right? Are you seeing the good thing in this? Or maybe not even prompting them, but just leaving it kind of open-ended so they can fill in either, yeah, I'm still really mad about that. Or like, I was able to play with my sister because my brother was mad and that was kind of fun. You know, whatever. Like, they'll fill in whatever their experience is, and just hearing them, hearing what that is, and being able to come alongside and check in is a good thing.
I think so.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of good things that come out of it. And I think some things in the end, we came up with a couple strategies when I talked with the boys and the families that we can, you know.
Amazing.
I think one thing, of course, we're a very sports-minded family, but we did have, you know, related it to sports a lot of creating a team culture in your family.
Oh.
And, you know, looking at like the game of football.
Sure.
Something we know a lot about is that if you look at all the team members on the football team, they all are different sizes and have different skills.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in a family, you know, but together as the team, you know, everyone can't look like the tight end or, you know, the center lineman.
Sure.
There's wide receivers that are usually half the size, running backs, yada, yada. So, I mean, I think those analogies are something that they can relate to.
Yeah.
But then also coming up with team kind of mantras or logos or, you know, like kind of like, oh, at the, you know, in our house, we do this.
Yep.
You know, we promote this. And so I think, you know, even writing some of those down, especially if you're in like middle school ages with your kids, like reminding them that.
Yep.
We all have different strengths and strategies here, and we're all trying to achieve the same goal, and we're on the same team. Like, we're all on the same team.
Yep.
So I think, you know, strength, you know, yes. What were you saying?
No, it just made me think about that with the team mentality, the other opportunity with this is to train them for watch out when other people are experiencing it, to be a good teammate to those folks, right? So, like, if you notice that your brother or your sister is, you know, frustrated or disappointed or having a hard time, like, how can you be a good teammate to them? Like, what are some behaviors you can have to show up for them in that time so they can practice doing that for other people as well, right?
Absolutely.
And which might train them, you know, kind of subconsciously to be able to ask for those things when they're the one who needs the support, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so. And training them also into, like, how each of them not only have different skills as far as, you know, sports and, you know, cooking and all that, but also have different emotional skills.
Yeah.
You know, and some need maybe just some quiet space.
Mm-hmm.
Some need to talk it out.
Yep.
Some need to have different things. And so training them to identify those with their different siblings and like how they each have different needs as far as emotional needs, then I think that can be helpful. As well. So there you go.
We can be perceptive of other people's needs and preferences and styles for coping and maybe know those things about each other and try to support someone from a place of knowing what actually helps them.
Yes.
Right?
And I know it. And, you know, I think, and really encourage them to do that and reward them in the sibling unit to do that.
Yeah.
But then when it all crumbles down and they're just absolutely terrible to each other.
Great.
I think one thing that we did, we had this one terrible day, probably in the middle of July. It was a beautiful top 10 weather day.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the boat children could go outside because they would not get along with each other.
Oh, no.
And it never happened again. But they had to stay in the house. And of course, this was before devices, too.
Yeah.
And they had to learn how to cope with each other.
Yeah.
Before they could go out and play with their friends.
Oh, interesting.
Tough day. They remember it well.
Oh my gosh.
Didn't have to ever have it to happen again.
Yeah? Yeah.
But you can't, if you can't get along with your siblings, mm-hmm. you can't mm-hmm. learn these skills and yep. value them.
Yep.
Then you really cannot be let out in the neighborhood to play with
them. Right. You will not be allowed to terrorize other humans if you can't stop terrorizing each other.
Yep. So it was just the one day. And the boys talk about that often.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Because it was a top 10 weather day in Minnesota. Yeah. That is just so valuable.
Yep.
And there they sat inside. Yep. And the doorbell kept ringing.
Yep.
I think I finally had to put a sign on and said, they are not available today. They're working on their skills.
Oh, my gosh.
So there you go. So I think, you know, those are fun things to look back on. But I think it served them well because they are, I will say this for those kiddos, they do learn and then they move on and they don't do the same thing twice because they are highly motivated to go out and get away from their siblings and play with their own friends.
Oh my gosh.
So very good. So I think there you go.
I suppose another motivational strategy that's worked in a classroom that could translate for a family, especially with a couple of siblings, right, is like a, I think I heard it described as like you got caught being kind.
Yes.
Kind of a model. And then, you know, you could get a sticker or something for each act of kindness you do. And when the whole group hits a certain number of kindness things, then there could be a park outing or a, you know, something not, you know, necessarily a treat, but like a, here's something that we would all like to do together. Mm-hmm. And your kindness has propelled you toward this thing. Great.
Absolutely. And
that's a fun thing.
Reminds me of family meetings. Like that was a big thing when my kids were younger. And I haven't heard that term a lot. Maybe over COVID, people were got tired
A little too much family time.
A little bit too much. But I think it's something if you don't have a family meeting time.
Yeah.
Usually like Sunday nights, like where you just all carve out a time to actually talk to each other at 5 and 5:30, you know, and give those rewards out at that time.
Yeah.
I just want to, you know, take a moment to honor so-and-so for doing this special thing. And this, I don't think anyone can ever tire of that, no matter how old you are in a sibling family unit, you know, even pull the teenagers down and, you know, and because I think everyone loves to be valued and taking just a moment and separate from dinner time or busyness and whatnot and away from calendar planning. But just this is the moment we're going to talk about how we were to each other this week.
Totally.
And honor that. Yeah.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Very good.
Great.
Those, I think if any of that was any bit of helpful, but families just know you're doing a wonderful job. And
that's right.
Because you're here.
You're here.
You're here or you're present and you're doing everything you can to,
that's right,
to get these humans
to
be wonderful members of the community.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And every time your kids have conflict with each other, they're just practicing their conflict skills so that later they can have coworkers and a boss, or maybe even people they supervise, or they can have romantic interests, or they can have children of their own, and they will be able to have disagreements with those people, and they will have skills, and you will not be fixing any of that for them, and they will be functional humans.
It'll be great.
And it'll be the proudest moments of your life.
Yep. Make sure to paint that picture for them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't hide the big picture from your children. Like, make sure, like, I'm doing this because someday,
that's
right, the bigger picture that we can be fully functioning adults and, you know, be able to communicate with all those people.
And you're on your way.
You
and
are.
You can do it.
Great job.
That's right. That's right.
Good.
Cool. Great.
Here we are. We'll try to come back every week and talk about the things.
Always talking about the things. Yeah. Good. Yeah. And I suppose we should always just say, if you ever have a topic mm-hmm. or a situation or a question or an area of parenting and life that you want us to focus on an episode on, maybe send an email to one of us, because if you mention it to us in a conversation, there is, at least for me, a 0% chance I will remember. Probably not for you either, it looks like. No. So maybe send us a very nice email and say, hey, could you guys talk about, I don't know, whatever the topic would be, whatever seems interesting to you, or hey, this happened in our family's life. Do you have any advice for that or any strategies? And we will say, we will do our best.
We will give it a good shot.
We will give it a good shot. That's right.
Yes.
Okay, so, cool. All right. Thanks for coming back, and we'll come back to your ears soon. Mm-hmm.